This is Jay Sekulow. Teachers unions threaten strikes over school reopenings and will not even teach online.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
It's Jordan Sekulow. My dad is joining us. We're having some technical issues as he is on the road, but he wanted to make sure to be joining with us throughout most of the broadcast today by phone while he is traveling, because this is such an important time at the American Center for Law and Justice, because it is the final 2 days of our July matching challenge with whatever amount you donate to the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Safe and secure donation. Just takes a couple minutes. We have a group of donors that are ready to match that donation. So you double the impact of your donation if you donate today, and you have up until tomorrow at aclj.org. And as always, as we have said through this pandemic, though, we rely completely on donor support so that we can represent the over 1,300 families and give them legal representation if they need it and the advice they need on the schools issue, so that we can represent churches in California in the singing ban, so that we can file those FOIAs that led to a court decision saying that if it says Joe Biden, or if it says Samantha Power, if it says Susan Rice, those three individuals can't say it wasn't them legally. That legally it was them, regardless if it was their deputy chief or if there was their chief of staff, and that people like Obama, if it was your chief of staff, then it could also be tied to you. And we know there's a criminal investigation into that. But our work is how you see how it directly correlates to all of that. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to Than Bennett, Washington. Than's out of Washington, D.C. right now. Is my dad back on with us? Okay, Dad, you're back joining us. I mean, Dad, this issue, too, with teachers' unions now refusing to return to class if they don't meet all of their demands, but they've even gone a step further. And this isn't the New York Times saying kind of how ridiculous this is, how they're trying to have it both ways. The teachers' unions are saying, we don't want to return if it's not going to meet all of our safety standards. That's one thing. And we don't want to really teach virtually online too much either. We don't want to spend too much time in front of a computer screen.
Yeah, so this is, again, taking the focus away from the student, and now it's the focus is on the teacher. Now, the idea that there would have to be certain what's called gating requirements, requirements that you have in place before you actually have the teachers come back, that's one thing. I get that. What I cannot understand for the life of me, though, is a teachers' or union unwillingness to utilize technology to teach these students. Now, if these school districts capitulate to these unions, this is even more of a reason why we're representing 1,400 families, and I'm sure it will quadruple if that happens, because they're going to have alternatives. If these teachers will not do it, the public schools that are taking these taxpayer funds should reallocate those funds to the parents to direct where they can go so the kids can actually get an education during this pandemic. But now you see where the teachers' unions are coming from. No teaching virtually online, no virtual teaching, and they don't want to go to the classroom. I like I said, I understand the health concerns. So then teach virtually. And then they say, no, we're not going to do that because it's too many hours in front of a screen. We are in a pandemic, and this is what the teachers' unions are doing, not focusing on a generation of students that may be dealing with this for a while. We have got to be creative and alternatives. That's what we're doing at the ACLJ.
And Dad, I mean, they're shutting down charter schools virtually in California by law.
Yep.
Shutting down public schools. Those are public schools. They're shutting down by law. We have those clients. We're working on those cases. There's even a story out about how this pandemic could force a whole generation of mothers, you know, the women that went to work, out of the workforce forever because of the schools. We'll get into that. Where are the liberals on that? Where are the teachers' unions on that? Don't they want more women in the workplace? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, and be part of our matching challenge. Donate online at aclj.org. You double the impact of your donation. That's aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
This, your kids' teachers, your grandkids' teachers, they're wary about returning to class in states and school districts where they are planning to reopen schools. And guess what? They also don't actually want to be doing virtual teaching either. Yet they still want to get paid by your taxpayer dollars, which is why the School Choice Now Act, which could be part of the stimulus, which would say that during this pandemic that families would receive vouchers straight from the federal government instead of the federal government sending money to schools that are closed down or not operating so that parents could figure out if they needed to bring in tutors so that they could do homeschooling depending on what level of education their child was at. And it so to figure it out themselves. I mean, Rand Paul, dad, said that, you know, Senator Paul said that every single dollar the Department of Education sends out this year right now should go directly to parents so they can figure out what to do because it is so uncertain out there. And we are doing everything we can on behalf of the over 1,300, I think as of yesterday, it was 1,315 individual families in 46 states plus D.C. With various significant hardships they will be facing. And it looks like we'll be taking the first action after we've been working with our clients to get all the info and make sure we get everything right, all the facts, do all research. Looks like we'll be taking our first action as early as tomorrow in Arizona. So, I mean, Dad, that alone, it's a huge issue. With the GDP numbers, with the stimulus kind of influx, and with school influx, I mean, with headlines out of, you know, 538, these are not right-leaning websites saying the pandemic could force a generation of mothers out of the workforce because teachers' unions won't even do virtual school.
So I'm going to read something directly from the New York Times. So this was in the article today. It says, some critics see teachers' unions as trying to have it both ways. Jordan mentioned this earlier. Reluctant to return to the classrooms, but also resistant in some districts to providing a full day of remote school via tools like live video, the kind of interactive online instruction that many parents say their children need after watching them flounder in the spring. We cannot afford for our children, or our grandchildren in my case, to be taken out of the education system for the next 6 months or a year or however long this goes. So we have to be creative. We're a constitutional republic. It's our taxpayer dollars. So we should be talking with school boards, which we are at the ACLJ, saying let's come up with alternatives. But the idea that they're not going to do it interactively, in other words, they will not do it by video, which is obviously still not ideal, but it's better than nothing. These teachers are basically, the unions are saying basically you get nothing. Sorry. And that's not acceptable. So what do you do then? Provide the resources to the families. And this should not be a Republican issue. It should not be a Democratic issue. It should be an American issue. We've got to educate our children. We have to be creative here in light of all of this. And I need to say something now, Jordan. I was going to save it for the next segment, but I want to say it. We just learned this morning of the passing of a very good yes. friend of ours, and that is Herman Cain, former presidential candidate, CEO of Godfather Pizza, a philanthropist, a businessman, and a good friend of the American Center for Law and Justice, and a good friend of mine. And I am just heartbroken at the loss of Herman Cain again to the COVID-19 pandemic. He had, of course, his underlying condition. He survived cancer, but this virus took him out. And I will say this, that Herman was, if you ever met him, if you ever with him, he was a ball of energy. And I was hopeful that he would be able to get through this, but he unfortunately was not. But our thoughts and prayers with the Herman Cain family.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was shocking news this morning. I know so many across the country and so many of our radio listeners, conservatives, people that have followed Herman, that have followed his career throughout politics. And really, I mean, Dad, I think that Herman Cain, he set the stage for Donald Trump to become president of the United States, a man who came straight out of the yep. world of business, right into the top level of politics, made it to the final stages of the presidential primary, at one point was leading, and it kind of set the stage that you don't have to be a career politician to become president of the United States if you've been very successful in some other area of whether it's business or something else.
No, you're really correct on that. And let me take it a step further. He was a trailblazer, Herman Cain, and it did lay a foundation or a framework for the candidacy of the president and others, really. I mean, to get involved in public life, he was very active early on in the Tea Party movement, which of course we represented it against the IRS. And he hated government abuse and wanted a simplified government so it would serve the needs of the people, which ties into exactly what we're talking about today. And that is this idea that you have a situation where you would enable a teacher's union to basically disqualify your son, daughter, or granddaughter, or grandson from getting an education because they won't do virtual, nor will they go to the classroom, tells you what we're fighting. And that's why we're right now, I think it's at 1,400 families, but I'm sure that's going to double, triple, or quadruple in the days ahead. And we're doing everything we can, folks. We're meeting with school districts. We're talking with school districts. We're looking at cases. We're coming up with alternatives. Our policy people are working as well. We are prepared to listen. This is what we do at the ACLJ, meet the needs of people that cannot afford lawyers and certainly can't afford lawyers that also had represented the president. And the fact is that those same lawyers are representing these individual families right now in a fight for their kids. And it's a fight for their kids' education. And we can't afford to lose a year of education to the unions, basically. And Jordan, that's what it is. We're going to lose a year of education to the unions.
And you know what is sick about this to me, Dad? It's sickening, actually, to me. The kids that get hurt the most, like the lawsuit in North Carolina, trying to stop the voucher program that was really only for the kids in the worst economic situations. That's all it was for. And the teachers' unions found parents to try and file a state lawsuit to stop that program for those kids in the worst of the worst neighborhoods, in the poorest conditions in the state. And yet the teachers' unions have that much hatred of private education and the idea of voucher school choice programs. When as a country are we going to say, you can praise teachers for doing what they do, and some of them are really great, and they do it with sometimes very low salaries. You can praise teachers. But when are we going to say that it's the kids that should come first and the teachers who should come second? Kids first, teachers second. Kids first, teachers second. Maybe even families second, and then the teachers. And right now, the way our system is set up, Dad, and as we're working through all these cases, the liberal politicians are like they are with Planned Parenthood, because we're going to do a pro-life update too today. We haven't talked about how much pro-life work we're doing in courts around the country, and we're going to do that later in the broadcast. But, Dad, I mean, really, these liberal politicians, as Joe Biden has said, you know, they want to shut down charter schools. They want to shut down every school choice program in the country. Just like Planned Parenthood owns most Democrats, so do the teachers' unions.
Well, look, I mean, this is, unfortunately, you could have predicted this. I hate to say it, but that is the truth. You could have predicted where this was going to go, and it's gone exactly where we said it would go. And that is, as you just said, Jordan, the kids are not being thought of first. It's definitely the teachers' unions trying to shut down. Why would you be shutting down charter schools that are trying to come up with alternatives? Why would you not be working with school boards? I think we have to be clear here. This is the nature. Now, we've got an opposing call coming in. We probably should take that after the break because I want to hear the opposing position on this. But we've got to come up with creative ways to serve our kids. We cannot have another 5 months of no education. And it's not fair to my grandkids. It's not fair to your grandkids. It's not fair to your kids. And we've got to be creative here. And school districts need the flexibility. They're talking about doing the right things at the federal level. But I think, as Senator Paul said and others have said, it is time. It really is time to get the parents the options to get their kids in school in the next 2 to 4 weeks. That's all we're talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, again, folks, we this is very quick, because if this continues on, you could, as you've said, Dad, you lose a year of school. You've already lost 4 or 5 months of it already. So that would bring us to, I mean, potentially a year and a half if they don't get their act together. And now that they are opposing how much time they will spend on virtual teaching, I mean, they should at least be, like in a lot of our situations, at least be teaching as many hours virtually as they were if they were in the classroom. I mean, and maybe more, because they have less responsibilities for taking care of the students, you know, like the elementary age, and figuring out where they are, because really all they'd be doing is teaching. So they could use more of their time that they worked each day to teach. And that's what everybody else who's been doing, that's been working from home, has been doing, is working the same hours or even more because it's different and it takes longer to do some things. They shouldn't be treated differently. Not anti-teacher. I think there's a lot of great public school teachers out there. What I don't like is that these unions have become so politicized and anti-student. Support our work as we are representing these families during the Matching Challenge month of July at ACLJ.org. Donate today. That's ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Robert, he's got an opposing call out in California online too. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Okay. Just wanted to remind you guys that the problem is very complicated.
I can't hear you. Robert, we're going to have to reconnect with Robert and try to figure out. You know, he said we're giving misleading information about teachers' unions. Isn't this more about kids who they can't be in front of electronics for an entire school day? I mean, Dad, I think that there is an issue there with at what age group electronic learning can work. So, of course, you have to take breaks. For younger kids, you're going to have to take more breaks. So you have to be more creative. For the older students, they're getting used to that being online almost all day.
Right.
So I think that this is... That is not the complaint that the teachers union makes to the New York Times. Let me read it again. With the academic year, this is the New York Times. With the the headline is teachers are wary of returning to class and online instruction too. And they're threatening to strike if the classrooms reopen, but they're pushing to limit how much remote teaching they have to do. And so listen to this. Well, with the academic year set to begin next month in much of the country, parents are desperate. We know that at the ACLJ as of yesterday, and I know that number's gone up. We've had 1,315 individual families contact us they think they may need legal assistance. But again, desperate for teachers to provide more interactive face-to-face instruction this fall, both online, you know, the parents would even be satisfied with that, and where safe. In person. But, and this is the key, to answer Robert, whose question got mumbled up, many unions, while concerned about the safety of classrooms, are also fighting to limit the amount of time that teachers are required to be on video over the course of a day. Dad, I mean, that is to me where we get to the absurd, and you realize these teachers' unions are just like Planned Parenthood. They play both sides of the left, and they think they can get anything they want because of their political power.
Well, but they're not putting, Jordan, you said it first and said it correctly and said it multiple times. Kids first. We'll figure out the teacher situation. We don't want teachers to be in harm's way. But to say, I don't want to be in front of a screen, there are universities, that's all they're doing right now. So this has been going on for a decade. So this is not something new. Look, it's not ideal that kids cannot be in a classroom. I know that's not ideal. Now, some parents have been homeschooling for a long time, so they're perfectly used to it, and have been utilizing video resources and these things. Great. But now we've got a situation where we need flexibility. You know what we're seeing with these unions, and I hope we don't see it with these school boards, Jordan, is a lack of flexibility. When you have a situation, part of leadership is being able to respond at the speed of relevant. And we have to respond at the speed of relevant here. There are school districts starting in 14 days.
Yeah, 14 days. I mean, we're about to take action. The first action in all of these 1,315. Out of those 1,315, already 900 are working directly with attorneys. The rest of those received a follow-up questionnaire so that we could kind of figure out exactly if we didn't get enough information the first time in their contact at aclj.org/help, that we needed to kind of figure out exactly what else they needed. So we've sent them a follow-up. We're just awaiting to get those back from them so that we can then assign them out to attorneys. And remember, when these individuals are fighting, you know, they're also representing a lot of other people in their situation as well in the school districts. Let me go to Chris calling from Nevada on line one. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. If teachers are paid to teach, why are they getting paid if they're not teaching? If you stop the funding, they will show up, whether it's in class or virtual.
Well, listen, Dad, I totally agree with that. If they won't do it, they should be fired. I'm against tenure with public schools. I think that's ridiculous. That if you're a failing teacher, you can't be fired. If you've basically checked out, you can't be fired, even though you're at the highest pay level of the school. I mean, I get, you know, tenure programs, but the fact that there's no flexibility there, like. You could have tenure, but yet if your classes and everyone in your classes start failing or you're not showing up and it's obvious that your students are doing poorly, you should be able to break through the tenure barrier and fire that teacher so you can bring in someone who can actually teach these kids. And we cannot just let these teachers say, well, as long as I get to this many years, I can basically, you know, shrug my shoulders. It won't be that tough for me. And I can even say ridiculous things to the New York Times, Dad, like, I'm not going to go into the classroom regardless of what safety measures they take, and I'm not going to teach online either. But pay me.
Yeah, I mean, this is. I'm just not going to do anything. I'm going to strike. So the kids, who suffers on that strike? The school board? No, the kids. The kids are the one that are paying the price for this, and the parents that are trying to figure out A, how to make a living, and B, make sure the kids are educated, so we don't have a lost 5 months, because the lost 5 months could turn into a lost year here. So we have got. That's why school choice is key. There are schools that are going to be able to do this. It may be online. It may be virtual. Yeah. Homeschooling resources need to be increased. Broadband needs to be increased. We need to get computers to people that don't have them or can't afford them. We need computer. There's ways to do that with chips inside the actual computer. We have to be creative in these school districts. That, I mean, I feel for them because, Jordan, they're in the worst possible situation. They have all of these happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
They've got teachers threatening with the unions.
Dad, let me just say, they get elected to the school board because they take money from those unions. That's the problem.
Right.
The unions fund those school board members' campaigns. So let's just be honest about that. The reason why they're so beholden, like all these people on the left and inner city school districts, why their school boards are so beholden to the unions, Dad, I don't feel so bad for them because they got those seats on the school board because teachers unions backed them, so they do whatever they want.
Well, I think that's right. And it's not all school districts, by the way, because a lot of schools, a lot of teachers aren't unionized. But the ones that are, I mean, that's unfortunately the case. But that means you have to even be more aggressive and more of an advocate for the parents. We've heard from, I think, what is it, Jordan, close to 1,400 families so far?
At least. I mean, the last count, that was as of yesterday morning, was 1,315. So I'm sure we're close to 1,500 at this point, if not more.
That's families. I'm sure it's going to increase. And folks, here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to work with school boards and school districts to give parents options so that their special needs kids, a lot of them are special needs kids that were in the public school system who had the resources. Now they don't. We need to reallocate resources. There's fans out today, but there's federal legislation in place, and there's going to be an issue there. So I think all of this is really important. Really, really important.
Dad, we've got breaking news that we'll need to get into in the next half hour of the broadcast. Yep. Everybody listen very closely to this. Share Facebook, Periscope listeners. You need to share this right now with your friends and family. And for those of you who listen, you know, you've got the full hour of the broadcast. If you don't get it, go to ACLJ.org or Facebook or Periscope. Find it because the full federal appeals court has decided to hear en banc the Michael Flynn case. Okay, so again, the Flynn saga continues in federal court. We will talk about that. That is breaking as of just moments ago. We come back on Jay Sekulow Live and think about how our FOIA work and that unmasking relates directly to the Flynn case as well. That the Joe Bidens and the Samantha Powers, because of our case, can't say, oh, it wasn't actually me, even though it says my name. No, the case says by law, it's you. We're holding you accountable for making that unmasking. We will be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. Support our work. It relates to everything we're talking about. Donate online. Be part of our matching challenge at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, so we have breaking news. Now, we will answer your questions about the school issue. I know a couple of you have got questions about that. We'll get to that in the next segment of the broadcast. I'll make sure for, you know, Brandy and Julie, both out in California, who are holding on right now. Just hold on. We will get to your calls right after this first short segment in our second half hour. But, Dad, there's breaking news. We just discussed the D.C. Court of Appeals, federal court there, has decided that they will hear the appeal by Judge Emmett Sullivan en banc. So yeah. While the Court of Appeals three-judge panel sided against Judge Sullivan and with the Department of Justice and with Mike Flynn and basically ordered him to dismiss the case, he appealed. Made the appeal en banc to get the full judge panel. The judge did. And now just explain to people what happens next. We see here that there's the oral argument is set for August 11th, so very quick.
Yeah, so let me tell you where this case is going, because I think the D.C. Circuit is tilted left of center. So I suspect this is going to the U.S. Supreme Court. But this judge, rather than doing what it should have done at the district court level and just dismiss the case, as the prosecutor said, we should not have brought this case. It was wrong. We set this guy up. There were mistakes. And instead of saying, okay, we're not going to do that, what does he do? He digs his heels in, and then he goes, and then they get a decision out of the Court of Appeals, and he doesn't like it because it tells him to dismiss the case. So what does he do? This judge is so entrenched, he appoints a special counsel for himself. The judge is a defendant here. And he goes to the entire D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. And as I said, I have no idea where they're going to be. I'm not optimistic. I think this is now headed to the Supreme Court. And I'll tell you something. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're going to file an amicus brief on this. I want our teams that are listening to it right now need to start preparing. It's August 11th. We'll find out what the amicus rules are. We need to get a brief in ASAP. It doesn't have to be long, but it has to be direct. We know what the law is here. That's ridiculous. I think a brief from the American Center for Law and Justice with our Supreme Court and appellate expertise would be very, very important here.
Dad, I think it's important to remind people what happened in this matter. So you had the Department of Justice come in. We had a U.S. attorney, out of Oklahoma, who looked into the Flynn matter specifically to see if it was actually criminal, because there were those notes from Peter Strzok and others saying, and like Priestap and others saying that Flynn did not appear. You know, these were the FBI agents' notes seem like he was lying. It wasn't like he was directly lying to us, but can we turn it around into a lie? Even though he wasn't lying, he may not have even just like kind of been following what kind of questioning, since they were kind of going in there to go after him, not just to ask basic questions. But even they took away from it initially that he wasn't like knowingly lying to them. And they then were about to close it, and Peter Strzok stepped in and said, Dad, that the seventh floor wants to keep it open. That's Jim Comey, that's Andrew McCabe, and Strzok and Lisa Page at the FBI. And all of the staff that they have. Then this goes to court. They pressure Flynn because they say they're going to go after his son if he doesn't take a plea deal and admit to some crime. And so he does that to protect his son, has lost millions of dollars because of legal fees. And then when the Department of Justice reviews it, finds out it was a totally illegitimate investigation from the start. So that because of that, the entire case should be dropped. Judge Sullivan disagreed with that, and he tried to then come in and appoint his own attorney, who is a former federal judge, to argue against the Department of Justice decision to say this was wrong of us to bring criminal charges against Flynn. That got taken on appeal to the D.C. Court of Appeals, the normal three-judge panel, and it was 2-1. That it was wrong what Judge Sullivan had done. He should accept what the Department of Justice, the executive branch, who decides when and when not to prosecute, to accept that. And he appealed that rather than go along with what the D.C. Court of Appeals. And now that's going to a more liberal en banc panel of the D.C. Court. We'll talk about it more when we get back. Support the work of the ACLJ. As my dad said, we're going to file this case.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We have three callers they want with direct questions about the school issue, and we're going to take those calls in the final segment of the broadcast. So hold on, Brandy, Nicole, and Julie, and I promise you, we're going to take your calls. But we have to get to this breaking news that Michael Flynn's case is going to be reheard by the full panel of the Federal Appeals Court in D.C. The judge himself appealed the ruling of the Appeals Court normal three-judge panel that said what he did was wrong, trying to appoint a former judge to come in and be like a prosecutor against the Department of Justice and now try the Department of Justice decision. And the Court of Appeals said, no, you can't do that. It was 2-1. But now it goes to en banc. And as my dad said, that's much more liberal when you look at the D.C. Circuit, and that this could be on its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And, Dad, I want to clarify for our audience because, you know, it's a Matching Challenge week. We've been doing a lot of work. And you mentioned that all of our attorneys who listen to our broadcasts, we ask most of them to do so that they know if they need to start taking action on something, they can immediately. You want to file in this immediately as an amicus, and we know oral argument is August 11th. So are you talking about filing at this stage, at the en banc stage?
Yeah, if we can. I mean, it's going to obviously move very quickly. So I just sent a text to Stuart Roth and some of our lawyers, Ben Sisney, Matt Clark, and probably put four lawyers on it to do quickly. It doesn't have to be a book. The law is very clear in our view. I think we just reiterate what has been said, but I think we have a big voice. We're the American Center for Law and Justice. We've done more constitutional litigation than most firms in the country, and certainly at the appellate and court of appeals, Supreme Court level, and I think our voice would be important here, and I'm sure there'll be other groups on the other side. There already were. So, again, I think, this is a time for the ACLJ, again, in the middle of all of this. We still have to do other work as well, and that's why we've got a big team that could do it.
Folks, we can do all of this. I mean, think about the pivot we can make. The 1,300-plus school cases, the FOIA victory on unmasking, and how that tied directly to finding out yesterday with Attorney General Barr's testimony. You know, we talked about yesterday that there was a separate U.S. attorney, which we knew about a couple months ago, but it's still ongoing, and it's much broader than just the final kind of couple months unmasking of Mike Flynn into that there could have been actual criminal activity. Because unmasking itself isn't criminal, but if there's a ton of it going on that's suspicious and there's leaking of classified information, that could be criminal. And, Dad, I mean, now we have our case, which backs that criminal case up, which says all those people who are being investigated and we know who they are because Rick Grenell declassified the document. So whether it's Samantha Power, Susan Rice, Obama's chief of staff, Dennis McDonough, whether it's Joe Biden himself while he's running for president, that they can't hide behind the thing of it wasn't really me, it was my staff, especially when it says their name. And if it says like their chief of staff, it also means them.
So I want to go to Andy on this. Andy Economore, senior counsel, is joining us. And there's a lot of things to unpack here, Andy. Of course, our FOIA work resulted in the conclusion by a U.S. District court that in fact, Samantha Powers and anyone else on that list, including, as Jordan said, Joe Biden or anyone else, cannot hide behind, oh, my staff did this with this unmasking. We have a right to know what it was, what authorization there was, and what it was about. So that's number one. Number two, we now have General Flynn's case being heard by the entire D.C. En banc panel, which is the entire D.C. Court of Appeals, which tilts left of center. So I expect it's going to end up at the Supreme Court for General Flynn.
Well, I think that's true, Jay. This is a most unusual case where you have the trial judge intervening in the case to become a party to the case and saying you should send the case back to me and I can objectively decide what the sentence that General Flynn should receive is, if any whatsoever. And then the appellate court three-judge panel saying, no, the executive power trumps you. You are to dismiss that case just because the Justice Department has moved to dismiss it, and that's the arbiter of prosecutorial decisions and the decider. And then the judge in the case now questions the appellate court and says, no, I want this to be reheard by the entire panel, 12, 18, however many judges there are on the D.C. Circuit, which, as you correctly said, tilts left. And they are liable to say, no, it doesn't merit dismissal. It's going to go back to Judge Sullivan. And then good luck, General Flynn getting an even fair shake before Judge Sullivan on his sentence. That's just not going to happen, which means that the next step is that it goes to the Supreme Court of the United States.
Right.
This is the most unusual turn of events I have ever seen. A judge getting involved as a litigant in a case and then complaining. No, I've never seen it either, Jay.
I mean, I've never seen, Jordan, I've never seen anything like this where the judge is a party defendant or a party, period.
No.
And now is so upset that he's gotten overturned, he takes it to the en banc court. And then it'll have to go to the Supreme Court if it goes south. But let me tell you something. If the en banc court were to rule in front of General Flynn, he'll take it to the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
how
obviously
can this man be the judge on General Flynn's case? How is that even possible in our system of justice?
No.
He has to be disqualified here. This is absurd.
He should have
been, Andy just said.
He should have been disqualified the moment he announced that he was going to bring in a former federal judge to argue, which he has no authority to do. He could not point to any authority under the D.C. rules, even local rules, to do in the criminal setting. And he was going to bring in a friend who is a former federal judge to argue against the DOJ decision. That should have been it. He should have been thrown out of the case right then. Judicial misconduct, because you had no authority to do it, and if you weren't thrown out then, you still were told by the Court of Appeals, hey, you're wrong. But now you get to the more liberal, full Court of Appeals in D.C. As you said, Dad, I want to make sure everyone understands here, because we're in the final 2 days of our matching challenge. We are able to do to pivot. That doesn't impact any of the cases we're doing for the students, any of the cases we're doing with those churches out in California, all the pro-life work that we're doing, and I think we're going to have to get to that more on tomorrow's broadcast because there's a lot of that going on. It doesn't impact any of that, but we can immediately pivot and say, we're going to file, as long as the rules allow it for this proceeding, we're going to be filing, and we got a team on, as you said, you were texting them already, filing a brief in support of the DOJ decision to drop this, and in support of Mike Flynn. And the ACLJ can do that because of the support from our donors, Dad.
That's exactly right. And what I'm talking about doing is the court will be taking amicus, friend of the court briefs. We have a lot to say about this. We have a lot of expertise on this area. So I can't figure out for the life of me why this judge has done what he's done here. But I will tell you this, the Department of Justice, Andy, had the absolute authority to do what they did, and the judge's role at that point, according to Justice Ginsburg, is to not be a litigant. It was a 9-0 decision, she wrote. And in that decision, she said that the court can't become the litigant, the parties are the litigants. And the idea that this judge is taking this thing up and continuing to prosecute this, basically, he's become a prosecutor. That is not his job.
No, that's exactly right, Jay. He has become the prosecutor in the case and overstepped the bounds. As Justice Ginsburg said in the decision you just mentioned, it is not the job of judges to sally forth each day looking for wrongs to right. They are to decide cases that are brought before them and not to become advocates in the litigation. What grieves me even more and troubles me even more, Jordan and Jay, is the fact that the D.C. Circuit has given credibility to Emmett Sullivan, Judge Sullivan's action, by agreeing to hear in bank, that is the full court, his appeal of the panel decision. And that does not, in my view, augur well for what that decision is going to be in terms of Michael Flynn. It doesn't look good for Mike Flynn, in my view.
I think it's going to take the Supreme Court to decide, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, when you hear this exchange between Congressman Doug Collins and Attorney General Barr yesterday, you understand how absurd that this is still going on for Mike Flynn and his family. Take a listen, Bite 11.
Do you believe that there was actually a basis to go after General Flynn? I mean, what we've seen so far, what's been released, and especially keeping an investigation open, Peter Strzok kept it open. Do you believe there's actually a basis for the beginning of this investigation to start with or continuing it?
Well, I would just say I asked another U.S. attorney in St. Louis who had 10 years in the FBI and 10 years in the Department of Justice as a career prosecutor to take a look at it, and he determined, based on documents that had not been provided to Flynn's side and not been provided to the court, that in fact there was no basis to investigate Flynn. And well, furthermore, it was clearly established by the documents that the FBI agents who interviewed him did not believe that he thought he was lying.
So, I mean, again, right there, you had a serious investigation, Dad, into it. We've been doing all of our civil work, side work on this too, on the unmasking and on, you know, figuring out what this deep state was up to. And it's now it's coming to a head. And unfortunately for Michael Flynn, this saga continues, but the ACLJ ready to stand side by side with the Department of Justice decision and with Mike Flynn. And we can do that because of the support from our donors. We got 20 seconds left, Dad, but tell them how critical it is.
Well, folks, we are in the last 2 days here of our matching challenge campaign. We've had a great response. If you're able, and only if you're able, financially able, I'd encourage you to make us a gift to the ACLJ. It's tax deductible, and any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for dollar for dollar. So if you donate 20, we get 40. ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I do want to take, because we have two callers, we'll get back to the Flynn matter in just a moment, because that is breaking news that the full appeals court at the D.C. Circuit, so en banc, will hear the appeal from Judge Sullivan from the Court of Appeals, three-judge panel, saying what he did was wrong. He needs to follow the guidance of the executive branch, who decides who to prosecute and who not to prosecute. And he doesn't get to make that decision. And yet the full circuit, he appealed that to an en banc panel, and they took it, and it's much more liberal, Dad.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, and I know Andy's got to be thinking the same thing. The judge is appealing. How in the world, Andy, is the judge appealing? The judge is the judge. He is not the litigant.
I can't understand it, Jay. A judge who's supposed to be a neutral arbiter in a litigation, who has been directed by a panel of the D.C. Circuit to dismiss the Flynn case because the executive branch doesn't want to prosecute, is now turning around and saying, I appeal that decision. Who are you? You are sitting up on the bench in your black robe making decisions as to whether evidence should be admitted or not admitted, granting rulings, overruling decisions, granting objections, sustaining objections, being an umpire. Now you're becoming a litigant in the case, and you're deciding or want to decide whether or not somebody should be prosecuted. Bring him back to me, bring Flynn back to me, and I'll decide what punishment, if any, to give him. And do you think Flynn is going to get a fair shake before Judge Sullivan? What Neptune planet are we living on? This is absurd. The decision to prosecute is an executive function. The D.C. Circuit panel correctly said that. Judge Sullivan, stay out of this case. Do what you're supposed to do. Be the umpire. You are not a prosecutor. And I hope the D.C. Circuit in bank court, that is the whole court, rules that way. But Jay and Jordan, I don't have good feelings about it. I really don't.
Yeah. No, I'm very worried about the court. I'm worried about that D.C. Circuit, Jordan.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, unless they really follow the rules, but, you know, that means there were enough of them that wanted to take this en banc to say that they disagreed with the three-judge panel. And so, and then with this U.S. Supreme Court right now, it is very unpredictable, though this should be very clear-cut.
Previous decision earlier in April, I feel a little bit more secure at the Supreme Court level. But who knows? I mean, but that's why I've instructed our team to start prepping. I'm sure you and Andy will be reviewing the briefs as well, and we'll get those moving very, very quickly.
Yeah, and literally, people may see, maybe even be able to see who are watching on Facebook, Periscope, looking down a little bit, because I'm texting with one of our attorneys, Ben Sisney, about the action we're about to take in the schools issues in Arizona that we've talked about, maybe as early as tomorrow. We're just securing one more thing down that we'd have to be prepared. We're not going to immediately go. It won't be immediate litigation, but we have to be prepared to possibly go into state court. So we're making sure we've got the right counsel set up there as well. So Dad, I mean, literally that where that's going on, you're texting attorneys for, you know, to get the Flynn amicus brief ready. Because this is a very early oral argument, August 11th. And again, this is, we can do all of this work, and we bring you this broadcast every single day because of your donations, because of your support for the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. These are a critical couple of days, because tomorrow is the final day of July's matching challenge. This is a big month for the ACLJ. Donate today at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, and your donation will be effectively doubled. I know we'll be getting more into this Flynn matter tomorrow as we get through more information about the court's order to accept this, more, and we'll get more reaction as well. But I got to take Brandy and Nicole. They've both been holding on a long time on the school issues. Let me take Brandy first out of California, online for Brandy. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you for all the work you guys do. I just wanted to share kind of our experience. I have my kids in private school here in Discovery Bay, California, and we were ready to go and open August 3rd. Teachers were ready. Everyone was on board. They had great things in place to protect the students and the teachers, and now we're being told we can't open because of what's going on with the public schools, and it just makes no sense. It really seems wrong, and I'm concerned for the private schools because $1,000 a month is a lot to pay for your kid to get distance learning, you know, and so I just wanted 100%. To share that and maybe see if you guys had insight to that or thoughts on it.
Yeah, Brandy, listen, this is a problem that parents are having throughout the country. So it's not just you're not the only one dealing with this. And the private schools are still subject to state mandates as far as opening. Now, have they in your particular school district, Brandy, have they authorized virtual campus online learning, or have they not said yet?
We did distance learning. Actually, our school did really great for the last couple months of the last school year. So they already have that in place.
Okay. Well, that's good. At least they have that. What I think needs to be happening is, though, for parents like you and others, is whatever resources you need, the schools need to reallocate funds, and the federal government's looking at this, too, to get the money into your hands, to get you some reserve here. That's really important. By the way, I just learned from our friend, lawyer, very well-known lawyer, Ted Groves in Washington, that one of the judges has recused himself from the case, Judge Katsas, who was the deputy White House counsel for President Trump. So he may have determined that he had some kind of conflict. So that's going to even make it a little bit tougher down there, Andy.
That's going to make it even worse because Judge Katsas, who happens to be a Greek-American, let me say, and I'm very proud of that, was a very conservative judge. He was appointed by President Trump, and I'm very sorry that Judge Katsas has recused himself, but if Judge Katsas did that, he did it for a very good reason, but that turns the court even more liberal against the Flynn position, Jay.
So it'll be heard by the 10 active court judges, Jordan, on the D.C. Circuit.
Interesting. So that puts up an interesting situation, too, where you can... Yeah. What if you... Dan, I know this is one... I want to take the final call, Nicole, we will, but... What if you end up with a 5-5 there? What happens?
It's an affirmance of the panel.
So Flynn would. So the lower court Flynn panel would stand. I mean, just,
yeah. But then then Judge Sullivan's going to take it to the Supreme Court. This case is not over.
Yes. I mean, the case that looked like it was over is now not over. Let's go to Nicole, California. Nicole, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all the hard work that you guys are doing. We are supporters and believe in your work. You're welcome. I wanted to ask about the private schools. I thought they would be exempt from the public school requirements because they don't. Oh, but they don't receive government payment, but still.
Yeah, they don't, but they don't. Yeah. Very quickly, because we're running close on time. Once you get the rest of yours in now, but they're subject to the same health and safety requirements as the schools in the district. But go ahead with the rest of yours. We've got less than a minute here, Nicole.
Okay. So I am a public school teacher. I have taught in California for 20 years. And I, even as a teacher myself, I'm appalled at the idea that we as teachers don't have to teach in class or online and would receive a paycheck. I was told in all of my years of education that kids are first. The kids come first. If we don't have students, we have no one to teach. We don't have a job.
Right. You're 100% correct. And that's why it should be, Jordan, teachers, students first. Support the work of the ACLJ and our Matching Challenge campaign, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.